Congregation, the main text for this morning is from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. We hope to deal with the verses 6 through 16, but 7 is the main text. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So far. Who are made truly wise? Who are made truly wise? Three thoughts. True wisdom. What is true wisdom? What's being wise? True wisdom. Secondly, to made wise. So we'll talk about what's happening when someone is made wise. And in the third place, who? Who are they? Can we say more about that? So who are made truly wise? Truly wise, made wise, and who? Congregation, what is wisdom? How would you define that? Let me talk it over with you before we start. Wisdom. If someone knows many facts, factual knowledge, memory, there's so many things he remembers. Is he wise? Maybe not. Can be a fool. Because knowing all those facts does not make you wise. So we need more. We need to know the facts and we need insight. How those things are connecting and what to do in certain circumstances. What to do with the facts. And some people have lots of factual knowledge and no insight. And not only factual knowledge and insight, but also courage to now also act upon and do it. I'll give you an example. Think of the army. Think of a general. And he has to make a decision on how to, when and where attack and defend himself and the country. So he needs to know all the facts. How strong is the enemy? How many ships and missiles and do we have? And where is it located? And what's the weather like? He knows, he needs to know all the facts. But then he also needs the insight. What's going to happen if I would do this? And then the consequences. So he needs to have insight into the secrets of waging a war. And then more, suppose he knows the facts, he knows what to do. But he's hesitant. He's not doing it. He doesn't have the courage. He's waiting too long. But he needs to do it now. So he needs insight, he needs the facts, he needs insight and courage. Or if someone is an investor, wants to invest the money somehow, he needs to know the facts, he needs to have the insight and to then also do it instead of waiting 5 years. And so in spiritual things, we need to know the facts. God and sin and the Bible, all the facts. You need to know the facts. You can know all the facts and miss the insight. Miss the intuition. Miss the gift of interpreting it. Not knowing what to do. Just kind of goes over your head. All the facts, overwhelming facts, but they're kind of loose sand. No, we need to have the insight. And more than the facts, and more than the insight, and also the faith to come, to draw nigh, to rely, to act, right? To have that courage, that boldness of faith. Now the Apostle Paul is talking about that wisdom. That wisdom of having the facts and the insight and the action. So to help the young people, to help the children, let us look at this chapter and see how often the Apostle Paul talks about wisdom. So maybe the children can count the number. How many times do we see wisdom in this chapter? I will help you. Already in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, not human wisdom. Look at verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but 7, but speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Are you counting? Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And then also in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches. So quite a few times it speaks about the wisdom, the true wisdom. And not only about wisdom, this chapter also speaks often about the Holy Spirit and about to know, right? Many times to know. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this earth knew, for had they known. And verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man. And verse 11, even so the things of God knoweth no man. And verse 12, that he might know the things that are. And verse 14, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord? So this whole chapter is about wisdom. To know it. To know the facts and have the insight and the courage. The real wisdom. So let us try to follow it. It's a wisdom of God. If anyone is wise, has all the facts and the deepest insight and also the action, do it, is God. Oh, what a beautiful wisdom. He knows everything. He is the captain of the faith of the church. He is the Almighty God, the all-knowing God, the wise God. He knows what he is doing. We can easily leave things in his hands. He knows. Oh, that wisdom is also a mystery, right? It's verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God. Our wisdom. The true wisdom comes from him, not from us. We are not so wise. We have no insight. We have no courage. We have no faith. We don't even have the facts. But it comes from God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The wisdom of God is something we cannot fathom. We are not so wise. It's mysterious. It's a hidden wisdom. Those are the deep things of God. The deep things about creation and fall and predestination and responsibility and the sacrifice and so many things. They are from God. You know, the science books, the university, they don't teach those things. They don't know those things. Because those things are from God and a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. Seated in verse 7. Before the world. So God has had his plan from eternity. All the facts and the insight. What he was going to do, to make and to design and to... And from eternity, he was so wise, and then he did it. He created the world. He made life. From eternity, what a wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You know, this later in preparing this sermon, I saw that. Unto our glory. The general I was talking about of the army has a purpose. He wants the victory. So you're always wise for a reason. A wise investor wants to make money. Right? So maybe it's something you're good at. But with a certain purpose. So what does this text 7 speak about? God's wisdom. Hidden wisdom. Before the world began. Until our glory. A wisdom of God unto salvation. A wisdom of God to give glory and salvation to sinners. So that's the wisdom of God. That's a mystery. How is that possible? To save a people, a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So God exactly knows what to do and how to save a sinner. He has all the plans for eternity. He has all the capabilities, all the insight. But there was no way. He makes a way. There is no possibility. He makes it possible. All things are possible unto God. And so he does the impossible. And he saves people. What a mystery of God. Ordained before the world began. Unto our glory. What a wisdom. Do you need such a wise God? Psalm 139 verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. Oh, that wisdom of God. He's so wise. He knows what he's doing and he can save you. In a mystery. It's hidden wisdom, those deep things of God, before the world began, and to our glory. And more, I see in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, had they known that mystery, that secret, that gospel, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if they would have had wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus. So if someone is wise, he does not crucify the Lord Jesus. So if someone is wise, he values the Lord Jesus. If someone is truly wise, then the Lord Jesus is everything to him. That's the true wisdom. True wisdom is that if you miss it, you crucify him. You despise him. You have no use for Jesus. But the true wisdom is that he is the excellent one, the beloved one, the one you need, the one you rely on, the Savior. which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, is it you? Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You would not have been in unbelief anymore. So that wisdom of God is from eternity unto salvation, Christ-centered. It also has to do with the future. God's children, they have an idea by grace of what heaven is like. The Lord reveals them things of the future. That city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They have kind of a desire for that future to always be with God. Heaven, eternity. Eternity displays a big role in that. The true wisdom puts everything in perspective. Everything in the perspective of eternity. Where is that here? Well, you have to read verse 9 and 10 together. If you only read verse 9, you misinterpret it. So let's read 9 and 10 together. But as it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So often people say, we don't know those things of the future. We have no idea about heaven. No eye has seen it, no ear has heard it. It has not been imagined in the heart. We don't know anything about it, about the future. That's not what it says. It says, in verse 10, God has revealed it. So by nature, we have no idea what heaven is like. But by God's grace, our eyes are opened. We see something of the glory of what that would be. It's a longing for God and Christ and to be together with the saints. But God has revealed them unto us so that wisdom is also a revelation of what heaven will be like. Not completely, of course. It's limited understanding, but it's true understanding. Which none of the princes of this earth knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then also eternity. The deep things of God. Christ. So true wisdom also refers to what we read in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God gives freely things, the gospel, right? Christ, he the gospel. So true wisdom is what God has given to his church. And that includes to know the things that are freely given, for free, without money, without price, all the grace God gives to his church. True wisdom. You know, the preacher, Stephen, preached that in Acts 17. No, the Apostle Paul preached in Acts 17 on Mars Hill. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, so marked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So this wisdom is so high, we cannot attain unto it. It's so deep. It's vast. It has to do with God and salvation. The deep things of God. What a wisdom. Secondly, how can we become truly wise? Now, young friends and children, maybe you have counted how many times you heard about wisdom. Another one. How often do you see in this chapter the Holy Spirit? Or spiritual? Or Holy Ghost? Let's go over that as well. I see in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And verse 11, for a man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, are you counting? For they are foolishness unto him. But he that is spiritual judges all things. So there is a special type of wisdom. God ordained it, God has it, and God knows what to do. And he gives that wisdom also to people. And that's all given by the Holy Spirit. Beloved Holy Spirit, we speak a lot about the Father and even more about the Lord Jesus. But don't forget the Holy Ghost. He is mentioned, what is it, 11 times or so in this chapter? The Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't get it, ever. We need the Holy Spirit to not only give us the facts, but to give that insight and that action to now also come. We need the power of the Spirit to have revealed by the Spirit. Lord Jesus spoke about those things himself, that wisdom of God is a gift. You can think and think and read and talk and discuss and be busy, and you still don't get it. You try to talk sense to your children, you try to speak about those things with others, and it's kind of a barrier. They don't understand. Nobody does. But they need that Holy Spirit. In that hour, the Lord Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. So the Holy Spirit reveals. Let me explain it with a few verses from John, from the Gospel of John, about the Holy Ghost. It's beautiful. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus talks to his disciples about the Holy Ghost. He says, I promise you, that I give you the Holy Ghost. And the Father sent him on Pentecost, and he will teach you. He will teach you all things and bring all the things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. We need that Holy Spirit to bring things to remembrance so that things click and we get it and we see it. Because without the Holy Spirit, we just look the other way. We're in a daze and we need glasses. We don't see. It's all fogged up. We don't see it. That's our fall. That's our sinful nature. We need a wonder to happen. We need the Holy Spirit to clear things up, to have the facts in order, to say, now I see it, and then to go. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Even, John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See that? That's the Holy Spirit we need to be in us, because the natural man cannot receive it. It doesn't see it. You're blind. But ye know him. Is that you? You know him. For the Holy Spirit dwells with you and shall be in you. When the Lord gives a new heart, the Holy Spirit enters into your heart. And you become a temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord teaches you things through the Bible. And these things begin to be real and alive. And you see what you have never seen before. Those deep things of God about eternity and about death and about Christ and about sin, of course. All those things begin to make so much sense. You say, I said all those years in church. I never got it. I'm 70 years old, 50 years old, 30 years old. I knew some of the facts, but I didn't see it. I had no antenna for it. And then the Holy Spirit comes. And those same facts are just in a different perspective. You begin to see it. What a change. Then God becomes God. The Holy One. The Wise One. The All-Knowing God. The Holy God. The Righteous God. The God who makes all the decisions. And you feel so small. You see it. Those deep things of God, you see it. The world cannot receive it because it seeth him not. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Or John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, when he will send unto you from the Father, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Oh, that Holy Spirit loves to testify, to teach, to reveal. Christ, he shall testify of me. That's such a specific type of wisdom the Holy Spirit teaches. The world does not teach you that. The world teaches about things that go to naught and just disappear and have no meaning anymore. But the Holy Spirit teaches unto salvation, unto our glory, for heaven's sake. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. He will put things in perspective and teach you Christ, the Savior. So do we consider the Holy Ghost enough? Do we pray the Holy Ghost to come, to open our eyes and to let it sink in? Without that Holy Ghost, you can listen to all the sermons in the world. You can listen every day to a few of them. It won't do anything but harden your heart if the Holy Spirit does not apply it. We need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost is irresistible. You can't resist it. You cannot keep him back. When the Father sends him, when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart, he just makes you willing and makes you understand things, inclines the heart, illuminates, inspires, reveals, and makes you remember the facts and gives you the insight and the intuition on how to interpret the facts and gives the desire to come and to do something. Then you don't sit still. No, that general who knows the facts and no insight is done. That general who knows the facts and has the insight but is waiting too long is not wise. But the general that knows the facts and has the insight and says, no, he's wise. That's a man. And that's what the Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches. Those are the facts. This is what matters. And now come. And gives feet to come to the Savior. Reveals him. He shall testify of me. And if the Holy Spirit has not testified of him, you're on your own. You're blind. You don't see it yet. It's absolutely necessary to see Christ. And the Holy Spirit keeps teaching the church to make it deeper. But we need at least some knowledge of Christ. I'm not saying you need all the knowledge of Christ. That's absurd. How can you? But you need some knowledge of Christ, at least a little bit of him. And then those simple things, those simple facts, like, you know what the name Jesus means, right? The name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. You know that this is, you know what that means. You learn that at catechism class, in the school, and at home. He saves his people from their sins, okay. But then if you get that insight, oh, he saves his people from the sins. And you become jealous of that. Begin to long for that. And to see the content of it. And that name becomes so precious. Jesus. It's not just a name. It becomes very attractive. And then the Holy Spirit teaches you to now believe in him. Have you believed in him? Let me ask in a different sense. Have you seen him? Has he been revealed to you? Is he precious to you? Do you trust him? Do you follow him? The Holy Spirit teaches. He regenerates. He gives a new heart. Our understanding is so darkened, but he illuminates and makes it light. So true wisdom. Remember what it is? Now, to make you wise, so that you will know it, is by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not doing half work. The Arminians are forgetting about the Holy Spirit. They preach Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. And then you have to just act yourself. But we believe that there is more. There is even the Holy Spirit to bring people to faith. In that one-sided work of God. It's his work. All glory to God. All credits to him. Nothing to us. And now, one step further, who? Who are truly wise? Our third thought. First we sing. Congregation, look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not. Does not accept, does not welcome the things of the Spirit of God. For their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's who we are by nature. Natural. Not spiritual. We are natural. And natural means on our own and still blind. Having no insight. Maybe some facts, but we don't connect those things. We have no intuition. We don't feel it. We don't have the experience in it. And therefore also not the action, the repentance, and the faith. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We have to realize that. And not be too surprised about that. Where we see that in ourselves, in our children, beloved ones. And in the congregation, and at mission work, and they talk to family members and neighbors. There's kind of a barrier. The natural man thinks this is ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. They're foolishness unto him. Count on that, young people. You go to university and college. When you talk about creation and abortion and life and Christ and the Son of God and born in Bethlehem and crucified, see, and resurrected, they look at you kind of, what? Don't we live in the 21st century? Do you still believe those strange, old-fashioned things? It's foolishness. And you can't talk sense into them. You cannot talk sense into people. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They don't go together. Neither can he know them. See that? There's no willingness, but no ability either. We just cannot see it. We cannot force that on people. We cannot force it ourselves. We cannot. I'm just following the Bible. I did not choose this message. We are following the Bible, right? 1 Corinthians. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And that's our fault. It's not God's fault. We cannot blame God for that and say, well, God has not made it too clear to me, so that's why I don't know it. The Lord says, I have made you good. I made you in my image, and you knew things. You knew them. But mankind fell away from God, so now we don't know it anymore. And if there are young people in church are listening along and say, no, I hear those things, but I hear those familiar doctrines and texts in the Bible, but it does not make sense. No wonder. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised when young people say, I don't know, do we have the truth? Or the Muslims say the same thing. So how do I know? I'm not surprised. Maybe there's a few impressions in your heart that makes a difference. But you need the Holy Spirit to testify in your heart that those things are from God. So ask for that and pray for that. To be made truly wise. I read in Romans 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Or Ephesians 4, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So, who has wisdom? And if someone receives that wisdom, how does that go? And is there any advice for us how to become wise? Children, I have a text for you from a young man, Timothy. And the Apostle Paul writes to him a letter. How old was he? I don't know. He was young. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Because all the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. See the Spirit in there? It's inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, you were young yet, and the Scriptures are open to you, and you saw it, and they made you wise unto salvation. So very simply said, read that Bible. And don't go skim over that as a sea-do. But remain in one place. Go scuba diving. Deep. And also your Bible reading. Don't go so fast over the surface. Stop. Say, what does it say? About me, about God, about salvation. But what does it say? And ask for that Holy Spirit to open your eyes, to see what you haven't seen before, so that you don't only know the facts, but that you connect and have that intuition, that insight. Also, when you're reading Bible after the meals, that's a good tradition, but so often we just rattle it off and not listening. You have done your duty again, right? To read the Bible, you should do that. So that's what we did, and now we're fine. No. That's the Word of God. It teaches you unto your glory, unto salvation. Just wait and go deep. Ask the God who has inspired the word to also reveal it unto you, so to enlighten your darkened understanding, to take that veil off and to show it. So what is important? Bible reading. It makes wise the simple. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise. The simple. We are so simple. But the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise. It's simple. You know, God's people, taught by the Holy Spirit, they know things so important, way more important than the things the general knows, and way more important the investor knows. He knows things about eternity. He knows things about salvation. He knows things about knows about things that matter the most. That's a wise person. In the world, maybe poor and simple and average, but so wise in the real things. And maybe you're wise in other things, smart in business, and smart in whatever. You know what to do and when to do it, and you're at it and on it. But you miss the point in the most important things. Read the Bible. And look at nature. Nature? Oh yeah. Nature teaches you a lot. Proverbs 6. Go to the ant. Sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So ants can make us wiser. You see ants, when you see bacteria, when you think of the complex things of life in this world, don't you see it? Don't you see creation? Are you blind? Look at the ants. Look at life. Seek wise teachers, wise friends. Keep your distance from sin. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Seek wisdom in the light of eternity. Psalm 90. So teach us, Lord. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. If you don't think of death, you don't. The real wisdom is to feel it, to know it, to be a pilgrim, to have the focus on those coming things, the future, and to realize your mortality. Mortality is a part of being wise. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. If you're wise, then you're serious. Then you're solemn. Then you know things. Wise is, if you're wise, in that sense that it's better to go in the house of feasting, better to go in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting, because in the house of feasting there's foolishness. But the real wisdom, when the real wisdom is the wisdom in Christ. Christ's wisdom. I read in Proverbs 8, verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. You know, that's the real wisdom. The real wisdom is to seek Christ, to find him in the Bible, to have him revealed to the heart, to know the facts about him. But not only the facts, and having an historical faith, also have the insight into the why and what. And then the next step, to come without money, without price, unto him who's wise. If Christ is yours, if he is the Savior, then you're wise. So pray for that. Psalm 119. Give me, O Lord, understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. See, he's praying. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding unto thy word. Oh, pray for that. Pray for understanding. Pray for wisdom. And don't let go. And don't be satisfied with just skimming over a chapter. May the Lord use his word by the Holy Spirit to make you wise unto salvation. So do we know the chapter now? Let's go back to verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The perfect ones are the people of God, and they have something of the full knowledge, the saving knowledge. In that sense, they're the perfect ones. We speak wisdom unto them and among God's people. Yea, not the wisdom of this world. No, not on the pulpit. Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. That wisdom comes to nothing and the princes go to nothing. It's futile. What are you doing? You can have all the wisdom of the world in worldly things. It does not bring you anywhere. But we speak the wisdom of God. That's what your mom was talking about, maybe, and your father. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which is ordained before the world unto our glory. What a precious wisdom, which none of the princes of this world knew. Authorities, important people, the elite, didn't know. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it's written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Nobody knows those things, except when God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit is wise and is searching all things and knows all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you need to be at the Holy Spirit to find out about those deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? You know yourself, right? So the Holy Spirit knows God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. The origin, the source is in God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us, O God. That's awe-inspiring. That we might know the things. Can you join us in saying that? That we might know the things that are freely given to us without money and price of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, comparing the Bible with the Bible, and the Bible with the Bible, and just searching those things and comparing those things, spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not. It's preached to him, it's offered to him, but he does not accept it. The natural man receiveth not. He refuses to receive it. He came to his own received him not. See what responsibility, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Judges? Do we think of a judge in court? No. Don't he say sometimes, you can't judge that? That's the word. You don't understand it. You don't have discernment. So, but he that is spiritual judges all things, has discernment about all those important things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. He himself is not discerned of people. They don't understand God's people. The world doesn't understand us. They say, what are you talking about? Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The understanding given by the Lord Jesus. So God's people don't only have a new heart, have a new brain, new understanding. They see things in a different light, because the Holy Spirit teaches them. Pray for the Holy Spirit, that he may make you wise. Think of death. Open the Bible. Go deep. And don't let go. And find, I hope you'll find, Jesus. He is in that Bible, because the Spirit teaches him. The Spirit takes it out of him and testifies unto us. That's the real understanding. And if you don't know about those things, you're a fool. You're dumb. Seek the Lord and live. Amen.